Jacob chapter 1. We now begin to have the words of Jacob, who is the brother of Nephi. Again, the records are passed on to Jacob, and we might say, well, why didn't Nephi pass it on to one of his children? Well, in this case, if you study, you would see that Jacob could have almost been considered one of Nephi's children, in that he is so much younger than Nephi. Plus, he's had a lot of more experiences than Nephi's children had had, and so therefore, it's given to him. But again, I stress that Nephi was 30, maybe even 40 years older than Jacob. In the beginning, Jacob reinforces the commandment that he was to only put things that are most precious upon these plates. So no matter what it is in here, if we study it for a while and ask the Spirit, it does have some importance to us in it. Okay, in verse 6 we learn that revelation and prophecy are among the people when the Lord is doing His work, or when there are righteous people among them. It doesn't mean everybody's righteous. When there are righteous among them, then you will see the signs of revelation and prophecy. In verse 7, it said that they labored that they might persuade them, the people, to come unto Christ. Meaning their work was to bring people unto Christ. Again, I have to keep repeating that it's always unto Christ. It is never unto a church or unto some men. It says that when you come unto Christ in verse 8, that you will bear the shame of the world. We need to study that, and we see that that's required, that when we go unto Christ, the world will point our finger down on us. It's not like it is today, where, or has even slowly been for hundreds of years, where slowly more and more the church teaches its members to be part of the world, and it more and more conforms to the things of the world. When you're following Christ, the world will point its finger at you as a church, as a group of people, and as at you individually, and make you feel, and do things to make you feel ashamed. In the case of the single follower of Christ, usually it means that they will say, oh, he's just trying to cause problem. Oh, he's a criminal. He does all these things for freedom because for his own gain, and he just to fight against the world, and he doesn't go along with the leaders of the church. And they'll point their finger at you constantly. There'll always be a reason to try and make you feel ashamed. But mostly, as you said, when you follow Christ, you're going to have to give up everything. Even your family is going to at times point their finger at you and make you feel like you have shamed them. And so they're going to try and put the shame on you. And nonetheless, we need to stress that in verse 8, that if these kind of things are not coming your way, if you're not receiving the persecutions of the world and those around you, there might be some reason for you to figure that maybe we are not following the Christ and really haven't focused on Him. In verse 10, we learn that Nephi was a great protector. And in the next verse it says that he had fought with a sword to protect the Nephites, which means they must have had battles with the Lamanites and we'd gotten right down into the warfare by then. But nonetheless, this doesn't mean that Nephi went out there and protected the whole people by himself. It was obviously his teaching them of the Lord and the strength in the Lord and the power of the Lord is what protected the people, not Nephi himself. And by him teaching them to go unto the Lord and by him being their king or leader and then going to the Lord, they received the power and protection of the Lord, as we will see throughout the Book of Mormon, which is how Moroni was able to protect his people. In verse 15, we see that the wickedness again begins to enter in even amongst the Nephites. And he lists what this wickedness was. First, the thing was that they began to desire and have multiple wives and concubines. And he said this was wicked for David and as it was for King Solomon. He said these things are wicked. And we need to study that out in our heart, think about these concepts a bit. He also says that in 16, some of the wickedness was they began to search for gold and silver, and then when they got much gold and silver, this caused pride in their hearts. Well, and not only that, they were seeking for the idea of lifting themselves up so that they could have pride and have other people look at them and have the glory of other people. But these were began to be their desires, and this is what they began to work for. to overcome this, it says in verse 17 that Jacob began to teach them. And where did he teach them? In the temple. So we see that that we go to the temple to receive instruction. Again, today the endowment does give us some instruction, but more than that, it should be a place where we could go to receive further light and instruction. But due to the fact that we live in a day where the prophets and leaders are not receiving revelation from the Lord, then there isn't anything to teach us. Again, what is revelation? Revelation is mostly like telling about the scriptures and other things that have to do with the scriptures to bring further light and knowledge to our minds. So again, we do get some of that out of the endowment, but mostly we receive a low level of that, and we're not because of our lack of righteousness, because we indeed do, as a people, seek for the gold and silver and do enjoy the pride, even the pride of calling ourselves a chosen people. Verse 19 is a great explanation of what is expected of leaders. It says here that the leaders are expected to diligently teach the Word of God. Not their own word, not their own precepts, not what they think according to what's going on in the world, but according to the Word of God. And that means through Scripture, using Scripture clearly, and then using the Spirit to magnify that Scripture. And if they do not, then they take the sins of the people upon them. And that is their responsibility. Today, in our church today, what do we see? We see that teaching is the lower level job, but the important job, the lofty positions of being the bishops, stake presidents, and general authorities. And these men don't teach; they just sit up there in authority and they tell everybody what to do. And then a lower position is a teacher. But here we see that Jacob, being the prophet, was a great teacher to him. We know that Nephi was a great teacher. The higher the leader, the more he has the responsibility to teach the people. And we can look at this again. We can now see why in previous scripture it says that the things of the last days will be upside down. Meaning it will have being a teacher to be the lowest position in the organization or in a church, rather than being the highest responsibility in a church. And here it says very clearly that much blood is going to be upon the heads of the leaders of the church today, because they do not take that seriously, their responsibility to teach the Word, to first get the Word of God and then teach it to the people. Again, this is repeated in the commentary. It is not me. It continues to come into the Scripture over and over again, and all I'm doing is pointing this out in the Scripture.